And when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, their net brake. They beckoned on their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, now he saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, not at his knees. That'd be a levitation process. The text reads feet. He fell down at his feet, and he said, "Depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished. About a year ago, someone read that, astoned. The word is astonished. He wasn't stoned. He was astonished. And all that were what? With him at the draught of what? Fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and they followed him. You see, this record in the Word is so human, because all of us are like children when we're born again of God's Spirit. Then it takes us a time to grow up through puberty, spiritual adolescence, manhood, womanhood. Sometimes we hardly make it into puberty, but it's there. But there has to be that growth. And Peter here had the Word of God, "Let down your what? Nets." But spiritually, he hadn't come to the place where he was willing to stake everything on the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. So he said, "Well, Lord, I'll try you a little bit." Any of us ever done that? Take the Word a little bit, but not all of it. Peter or Simon, just like that. He said, "Lord, I'll let out a net. You know, we fished all night. We know the business, Lord. But if I just to satisfy you and show you that you don't know what you're talking about, we'll still let out a net." Somebody said, "Well, if they let out a little bit of the net, look at the abundance of blessings." Well, look at the abundance of blessings we've had. We haven't really gone all the way with God's Word. They'd most likely be still hauling the fish in if they let out all the nets. That's right. That's why it's a tremendous thing, this Word of God, people. If we could just renew our minds to say what the Word says, to declare what the Word declares, to speak what the Word speaks, it's got to come to pass. There is no other way of maturing in your life than to begin to declare what the Word says. Perhaps today you don't rise to the greatness of it yet, but unless you begin declaring it, you will never rise to it. You've got to start saying what the Word says. As I once said, if it never comes to pass, you have to be absolutely convinced it's God's Word, and you just say what the Word says. Then you begin to start believing what the Word says. You will never get to believing what the Word says until you start saying what it says. And this Word of God is more precious far than earthly gold. This message we have heard from God's Word. If I could have earth's wealth untold, I'd rather have God's Word. If all the seas were crystal white, and all the earth a golden ball, if all the stars were gems that shine, God's Word outshines them all. They forsook all and they followed Him. They began to put God's Word first. That doesn't mean they didn't go back fishing once in a while, but they started building the Word in their life. And that's our privilege. That's the greatness of the love of God that has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, that we have the privilege to build that love into manifestation in our life. Remember the old hymn, "Could We Within the Ocean Feel?" Someday I'm going to have somebody sing that, just for fun. Could we with ink the ocean fill, and were the skies of parchment made, was every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. That's that love of God wherewith he so loved that he gave, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life. Let out your nets for a draught. Launch out into the deep. Quit playing around on the periphery, in the shallows of life. Move out where there's real life. And the real life is always where the reality of the Word lives. And where men and women are endeavoring to live according to the reality of that Word. And the greatness of it. That's why I don't lift up mine eyes unto the hills, to the pagan temples. I don't lift up mine eyes. My help doesn't come from that source. My help cometh like yours from the Lord, who, that's the Elohim, who created the heavens and the earth. He shall not suffer thy foot to be moved. He's not going to let your foot to be moved. He that keepeth you is never slumbering or what? Sleeping. That's why you can go to sleep at night without an aspirin. Or a Bufferin, which does twice as much to your head. I saw the hammer in a TV show. That's why you don't have to run to the place and get sedatives so you can go to sleep at night. Get sedatives to wake up in the morning. And then get sedatives to keep you awake during the day. Or something. That's why you don't have to count sheep at night. You know the shepherd. Why? Because we can launch out in the deep on God's Word. People, this Word is faithful. The Word has stood the test of time of all critics. And that Word liveth and abideth forever. As a matter of truth, it stipulates in the Word that it will be so totally fulfilled that not even one jot or tittle of it is going to remain unfulfilled. Now, ladies and gentlemen, whether you and I believe it will not invalidate the Word. Whether we accept it is not will neither substantiate it or invalidate it. It is still God's what? Our believing will get us the results of it. Our unbelief will get us the consequences. You remember that little poem that... I'm loaded with poems. Or something. Maybe it's a night of poetry. I don't know. To every man there openeth a way and ways and a way. John Oxnard. And the high soul climbs the highway. And the low soul gropes the what? Low. And in between on the misty flats the rest drift to and fro. But to every man there openeth a highway and a what? Low. And every man decideth which way his soul shall go. We have to make that decision. Are we going to lift up our eyes unto the hills? Or are we going to lift up our eyes to the true God who created the heavens and the earth, who so loved that he gave his only begotten Son, so that you and I could so live in the abundant life that we could so love as he loved us, we in turn could love. Every man decideth which way his soul shall go.